Hi, I'm David Severs.
Hi, you're listening to Harry Sideropoulos.
I'm Malcolm Terry.
Hello, from Michael Richard.
Hello, from Fiona Ramsey.
And if you're listening to us, then you're lucky enough to be listening to Radio Today.
Today, South Africans share their lives with you here on Radio Today.
Tell your friends about Radio Today, the station for great entertainment.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of A Place Called Malva. It's great to be back, and I love that jingle. The more I hear it, the more I like it.
That's good, because you're going to hear it a lot.
I really do, and we've got to try and get her into the studio.
Yes, I know, but she's in Pretoria. It's quite tricky. Yeah.
And she's also had a young child.
That was a while back, Alistair. I think the child's growing up quite fast.
Okay, well, oh, whoops. Okay, what have we got on this week?
Gosh, we've got nice things on. We've got another writer from Melbourne, but this is some writer.
Oh, this is quite controversial.
Yes, very. And it's going to be such a nice launch. Anyway, we'll tell you about the launch, and we're going to tell you about the writer because we interviewed him. And we're also going to tell you about a wonderful event that happens now regularly in Melbourne. We had a little problem with the recording of it because we had a tricky recorder, but never mind. That means we can record it next week as well.
That's right. But this author that you spoke about,
Lawrence Hamilton.
I know he's going to talk about him later. He's going to be at Love Books, but I was very intrigued by his interview. I think it's going to be, well, as listeners will hear, and go along to it. I think it's going to be well worthwhile.
That's right. In the meantime, think about it, folks. Is South Africa free?
That's a clue.
That's a big clue.
And with that, let's go and join Lawrence.
Well, welcome to a place called Melville, Lawrence Hamilton. Yet another book writer here in Melville. But you haven't always been here, have you?
No, I'm a Durbanite.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was born in Durban and born and brought up in Durban.
A little surfer boy.
I was, I was a little surfer boy, I suppose. A failed surfer boy.
Then turned academic.
Then turned academic. Oh. Spent a lot of time in the UK.
Now, your book is called Are South Africans Free?
That's
and
right.
and the argument, I mean, this is going to cause enormous arguments all over the place, because of course the answer will be, you don't have to say, but people will say which people, and I think you've answered that really interestingly in your book, because people always assume that it's going to be just one class of people that we're freed. I wasn't like that at all.
Yes. I mean, my short answer is obviously not yet. The longer Mandela answer, that's a Mandela answer. You're right. But the longer answer is, and that's a really good question. The longer answer is exactly that, to try and show how our freedom depends upon the freedom of others in any particular polity, and that's particularly important and relevant in the case of South Africa. And so there's an argument that comes from the theory that I won't bore you with, that talks about that in terms of proletarian freedom and how it affects...
Or libertarian
as well.
I've caught glimpses of.
But I change that somewhat and just simply show causally how, and it's quite easy in the context of South Africa because of the apartheid history and the divisions and the ways in which South Africans, wealthy South Africans that you'd imagine were much freer than poorer South Africans, have to construct massive barriers behind which they think they can secure their freedom. And reality bites.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all classes of South Africans, all levels of education of South Africans that are not free.
That's correct.
Yet, as you say.
I mean, of course, the important thing is that I make the argument about freedom as power in terms of degrees of freedom.
Exactly.
So the very poor person
and
different kinds as well. So the very poor person is obviously going to be less free than the wealthy person, but given the macro political and macroeconomic and real conditions of the country, the elite or the wealthy or whatever, the powerful, the seemingly powerful, also lack freedom to a very significant degree.
And then I also thought, which was, I mean, really quite interesting, and from another angle as well, is how people carefully put together the constitution, let's say, or not let's say, it was the constitution, and then how that very tool, in fact, inhibits a little bit, that all of that careful thought that went into the constitution might be quite inhibiting in terms of the freedom.
Yeah, that's a very big question. There's one component of it that's all to do with the language and conception of the constitution, that has to do with the language and nature of human rights and our constitution being human rights based. Okay, I'm not sure if you want me to go into the detail of that because it's quite tedious. But the other side
people
is
can come to the launch for that.
Exactly. Sure. Yeah. Mm. The other side, which is I suppose one of the more novel or I hope more powerful components of the book, is to say that there are these two, in the negotiations that lead up to a final constitution, there are these two major political forces, the ANC and the National Party, and essentially what arises out of this process of negotiation is an elite compromise.
Yes.
That changes our macro political structure in such a way that takes sovereignty away from Parliament and places it exclusively in the Constitution.
Okay.
That seemed like, at the time, a great idea.
Yes.
But a little look at history shows that that isn't necessarily a very good idea.
Yeah.
Because the agency of citizens is represented through Parliament. In an active way.
Yeah.
Constitutions are not active entities. They're entities that are the products of a certain time.
Fascinating.
Huh? And so they, unless they're changed, I mean, there have been people over history that have made suggestions that you can put in place plebiscites about constitutions in which your constitution becomes an active entity. Actually, it's one of the suggestions I make in the book. But what's most problematic is that Parliament has lost its teeth entirely, and Parliament is our representative forum.
Active thing, yes. Yeah, I think that's one of the very interesting things that I found in the book. I mean, there are quite a few things, and then of course there's the big argument, which I didn't necessarily see in your book, but is answered in all sorts of other ways about do people really want freedom? There are a whole lot of people who don't like who vote not to be free, actually. Because they vote for safety.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. But what I'm trying to suggest in the book is that safety, in a sense, is a prerequisite for freedom.
Okay, that's a different sort of safety. I think what I'm meaning by that safety is they vote for a comfort thing. You know, it's a bit like belonging to, say, a church or something.
Right,
you belong to it and you feel safe then. Right. You think you've done the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, what might lie behind your question is the idea that freedom is the everyday notion of freedom that we have, which is that freedom is basically freedom of choice. In other words, that we're somehow fully autonomous individuals that go out into the world and make free choices.
Mm.
What I'm trying to suggest through this account of freedom as power is that it's not as simple as that.
No,
that in actual fact, we're interdependent, we're caught up in various identity relationships, various group relationships, various institutional relationships.
Yes, very much the group relationships and the various kinds of freedom and what it means.
And the main issue that I'm trying to sort of bring to the fore into an understanding of freedom is the power relations that exist between these different things. And if we start to think about them in terms of those power relations, we can start to have an assessment of the degrees of freedom. For example, we could claim that a church of some kind or other generates an environment which is much less free than something else.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of argument I'd love to make. But, I mean, you know, that's a sort of an empirical argument that'll depend on the kind of religion or church you're talking about.
You're talking about the devolution of power, which is also pivotal. But how does that happen? How do a lot of people, probably the majority of people, even get to realize this? Because realization is key.
Yeah, that's another really good question. The the normal response, and especially given South Africa's history and its history of anti-apartheid activism, its normal response is to think that the agency that is required for this, as it were, has to have its roots from the bottom up. I'm a little skeptical of that. I think that you need to.
It's not totally libertarian.
my position is not libertarian at all.
I caught some phrases that I thought were quite funny.
I don't like labels, but it's definitely not libertarian.
Okay.
If anything, it's a kind of post-Marxist structuralist account, if you want. It's far from libertarian.
Well, what I find super is that there's so many different arguments that we could have about this, and it's not that I'm necessarily disagreeing with you at all, but I just love arguing, and I hope that readers do too.
They'll have a lot to argue about.
They will. So. I know, it's fantastic, and you also argue back well. So even before they've posed the argument, there actually is an answer if you look carefully through the book.
Yeah, and irrespective of what I say about it, I mean, it's a question that is obviously one that needs to be asked very forcefully.
It's
almost in our
DNA now.
I mean, 20 years of freedom, has it given us freedom? Obviously, it's given us political freedom.
Yes.
But is that the full quota of what,
and
what have we done with it?
Yeah, and have we taken it that step further? Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And how? Thank you very much for coming on to a place called Novel, and we're going to give the times and the place of your book launch. So we'll do that.
Great.
Thank you so much.
You're going to do that separately, right?
Yes.
Thanks so much.
Oh, at last we're going to hear a track again by Peter Orett. We haven't heard from him for so long, and his album Turn the Tide, and this is one that I just love. It's called Here Comes the Sun.
That is a great one, I must admit. Thank you.
Hello from Subi Mboya. Stay with Radio Today, your station of choice. Radio Today, radio that delivers.
We're back in the studio with Marla Imond and Alistair Graham. Did you enjoy Here Comes the Sun? You
heard
about it so much when we
started. I was so happy that we were playing it.
It is
a happy making song. Oh, not song,
it
but
is,
piece of music.
We've got another one coming out from him as well. But you mentioned right at the beginning of the show, we've got a new place in Melville.
Yes, gosh, right up my alley. It's another market. This is not the bamboo farmers market.
And it's at different times as well, which is great.
It is great because you can do two markets on one Saturday, every Saturday actually.
And get a bit of exercise in between. You've got to walk up the hill from bamboo and down
true.
The other side.
Yes, it's actually a nice walk. Yeah, that's actually very true, from one side of Melville to the other.
That's right, it's right the way through. And there's quite a different selection of things there compared to the bamboo market.
Yeah, no, nothing organic, no fresh vegetables and ducks and things like that, but lovely food. This is sort of prepared food. Very nice mocktails, which is quite a funny thing, with alcohol-free wonderful cocktails, heavens. Also, lots of lovely jewellery. There's vintage clothing, newish clothing. There were quite a few crafts, but everything was very out of the ordinary. It was stylish. As she said, trendy. It is trendy. This is Eleni, who's the owner and manager of the restaurant to which it's attached. That's Pizza Ovini, I think. Pizza Ovini or Vino.
I think that's what it is. Yes.
And it's at the Auckland Park part of Melville. So when you turn right to go to the Campus Square thing, you can go left and go to the market.
That's where the old Booker House.
There was an old bookshop there, that's right. And now there's a restaurant. And you can either park there or you can just go through the boom and park around the corner at the market itself.
I like that even going through the boom.
It is, yeah. There's excellent parking, gosh. And they're lovely opportunities. I noticed that people have kind of given up on one of the opportunities that I loved because it's also picnic time.
You're sitting on blankets and things.
Yes.
Sitting on the chair,
Yes, you get a little black blanket and you can get your food from the market or you could order it from the restaurant as you like. But we noticed that everybody's sitting at tables. So they're having their picnics at the tables. There was also a band.
Yes, and there'd be a selection of different musicians playing there.
Yeah.
On a weekly basis.
Yeah. Very different to Peter or Rhett, but you never know.
Well, who knows? Maybe he'll play there at some stage.
Yes, we hope.
And talking of Peter or Rhett, let's join him for another track from the same album titled The Dean. Thank you.
are listening to Radio Today, your easy listening music station.
We are back in our studio, a place called Melville, with Alistair Graham and Marie Lehmann.
We're back here to tell you what's happening.
We're back to tell you all sorts of lovely things that are going on. Alistair, you go first.
Gee, thanks. That's so kind of you. Now, Melville Copies, Sunday the 1st, 2 p.m. That's the Melville Copies Central 3-hour hike. That's where you learn about everything on the copies. Adults, 50 Rand. Children, 20 Rand. No dogs on this one. Park opposite the Marks Park Sports Club and Judith Road, Emerentia. Then don't forget the Lighthouse. They have functions on every single night of the week, and by all accounts, it's very popular.
Yeah, it is. You can even look at it on Facebook. Mm. They only announce the night's things on the day on Facebook.
I think they're just confirming them. They get confirmed at the last minute as well. So mm-hmm. It's worthwhile checking out. Monday night, comedy night. Tuesday night, documentary screening and talks. Wednesday night, drama club. Thursday night, artist night. Don't forget they also have really great food and organic wines there as well.
They've just won some award for their food.
Have they?
Yeah, I can't think what it is.
We'll have to find out about that. The Bamboo Farmers Market, that's the one in the morning now. We're going to have to say there's a morning one and there's an afternoon now.
Yes, and on Saturday one. I was there bang on 9 and got all my stuff, so it does open at 9.
Oh, good. 9 a.m. to 2, and then the other one that we'll go and talk about next week as well, probably.
Oh, that's from 12 to 4.
That's when you walk up the hill and down the other side.
Or you go and park your car very safely.
And now, Lucas Sictori.
Oh, great.
A defending champion. He beats David Wagner. It was announced on the 19th, whilst on the show last week. That's when it was announced that he beat him.
Well, great. That's the guy to beat, because he's the leading singles player.
That's
and
right.
Lucas is number 2, so Lucas had better beat him all the time.
Well, I'm sure there's stiff competition because they've beaten each other and now he's beaten him again, so no,
great.
David is going to wait to try his turn again, no doubt.
We're on Lucas's side because he's in Melville. David Wagner's in the States.
Well, of course we're on his side. And what's happening in Love Books? I see there's a whole bunch of things. Of course, we're going to talk about Lawrence now, aren't we?
We are, because that's on Tuesday. If you're there, there are going to be quite a lot of people, so I think maybe it's a good idea to book. So let me give you the booking thing first. RSVP Kate, K-A-T-E, at lovebooks.co.za. And the time is 5:30 to 6 on Tuesday. So you've heard a little bit of what Lawrence has to say. And he is the author of Are South Africans Free? I guess we know the answer, but the various questions, like who are the South Africans and things like that possibly aren't free, is very interesting.
That's
because
right.
It's not all the people that we think.
Well, if you start thinking about it, yes, it opens up a whole
it's wonderful.
View on, yes, and I think it's going to be well worthwhile going there.
Yeah, it's a really nice book to have too. Now, Lawrence, just to give you a little bit of background, is the research professor of political theory at the University of Joburg. But mm-hmm. We also know that he's very much in demand by other universities, so you'll have to watch that academic space. Then at Love Books on Wednesday, there's a very different book that's being launched.
You might just camp over.
You could, actually, because you can go to the restaurant
that's
upstairs.
Right.
And anyway, at 5:30 to 6 as well, but this is on Wednesday, is a book by Shani Krebs. Now, this is a kind of pretty true story. I would say that there's not much fiction in this book. And I'm going to have to just read you a tiny bit because this is so well written. It says, Shani Krebs didn't fall in with a bad crowd. He was the bad crowd. He was born to Hungarian refugees in Joburg, and he had a tough childhood. But during his national service, he started dabbling in drugs, and it wasn't before he was supplying the Joburg party scene with all kinds of drugs. Anyway, a very glamorous life he lived, lots of escapes and drug binges and stuff, and they say his closest friend was his pistol. Then in 1994, when we were all having a new democracy, Shani flew to Thailand, and he was arrested for heroin trafficking. After his trial, he was sentenced to death. He was 34. And this book is his story. Of course, he didn't die.
That's going to be quite a riveting book as well, I think.
Yeah, now Sarki's Garage, gosh, they're doing lovely things. Now, this is a special, special evening. Wessel Bjerkes is a cellist. I think lots of people know Wessel Bjerkes. and he has the Bach suites on cello at Sarki's garage. So we often imagine Sarki's garage as a kind of beat domain. Now this is very different, cello domain.
It's off on a tangent, this.
Yeah, so 290 Rand will buy you that amazing four-course meal. It'll also buy you an evening with Wesselbierkus on cello.
I think it'd be great.
It is great. And I should maybe give you the email address to book as well. I always think it's better than a number. It's Sarki Garage, S-A-A-R-T-J-I-E, garage@gmail.com. And then we want to tell you about the market in the park from 12 to 4, which is at Media 24.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in Lothbury Road. And you turn left when you see the restaurant Panevino, and you either park there or you go... it's Pizza Avino. You either park there or you go into the big parking lot.
Looks down like the corner and
big,
park there.
Big fun. We were there.
And the kiddies are welcome too.
Yeah,
they can bounce all over
things. We had quite a lot of fun ourselves.
For any more information on Melville, please phone 072-305-0281. And if you have any information for us, please phone the same number. Don't forget you can get hold of us on the email address, aplacecalledmelville@gmail.com. And the show's podcast and available from 7 p.m. tonight from Radio Today's website. That's at www.1485.org.za. And from us, that's it this week.
And it was engineered, as usual, by Mr. Kulu.
Goodbye from us.